Hi everyone, and welcome to the special Meet the Board series featured once a month on Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast. Each week on Wednesdays, Managed Healthcare Executive features C-Suite healthcare professionals whom we speak with about the most important issues in healthcare. In our Meet the Board series, we spotlight a member of MHE's editorial advisory board so our listeners know more about our board members and their roles in healthcare. The Meet the Board series is broadcasted at the end of every month. So be sure when you tune in to listen in and learn a lot. Hi, everyone. My name is Brianna Contreras, and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, MHE Senior Editor Peter Werwein and I chat with MHE Editorial Advisory Board member Cindy Hendorfian for the latest episode of our Meet the Board series. Hendorfian, who is CEO of Allegheny Health Network, told us a few things about her career, where Allegheny Health Network stands in the competitive Pittsburgh healthcare market, and what the organization is doing to improve the health of the population. Hi, everyone. My name is Brianna Contreras.
Hello, everybody. My name is Peter Werwein.
Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with President and CEO of Allegheny Health Network and Managed Healthcare Executive Editorial Advisory Board member, Cindy Hendorfian, for our Tuning Into the C-Suite Meet the Board podcast series. Thanks for joining us today, Cindy.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. So to get started, if you could just give our readers and listeners maybe just like a brief kind of sketch of your career. For example, maybe what were your goals early in your career and how have they informed your career today and maybe how have they changed them?
So I started in healthcare when I was very young. I actually started at my very first job right out of high school when I was beginning college was as a dialysis technician. And I realized because I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my career. I realized very quickly that I really loved healthcare, the part of being with patients and being with clinicians and, you know, making them feel better. But I got very emotionally attached to the patients. And I thought, okay, this is probably not going to work for you long term doing that, but do something else in healthcare. So I pivoted pretty quickly to healthcare administration. And ultimately, that's what I went to college for. But I spent my entire career prior to coming to Allegheny Health Network at the Cleveland Clinic. I was there for 36 years. So this is really kind of officially my second job. And I've been here since February of 2016. But in Cleveland, I started off as at a pretty low level manager position and worked my way up throughout the clinic and realized more and more and more how much I loved healthcare, everything about it, both the medical side, the surgical side, the hospital side, the clinics. I mean, everything about healthcare, I love working with the clinicians and with the patients. And I mean, it was truly my calling, I believe. And, you know, ultimately, when I decided to come to Pittsburgh, to Allegheny Health Network, it was because Highmark made such a compelling reason why to come and work with a payer, why that would be so beneficial to take that journey. And they really needed, I think, someone who was going to believe in the clinicians and help me put the system back together. So it was really kind of a perfect match. And it's worked out, I think, very well for all of us. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, that's amazing to hear. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Now next, if you could, can you identify any inflection points in your career, the key opportunities or challenges that you've had or faced? Could you possibly discuss either like a low point and a high point?
Well, I would say I'll give you one that's both a low point and a high point. And I'll use the pandemic as an example. Low point is how much pain that health systems have gone through and are still going through trying to take care of all of our patients appropriately, knowing that we can't get to everybody and that there are a lot of our patients' care that has to be delayed because there's just not enough staff beds because we've got a critical nursing shortage, as you all know. So Going through that pretty much day and night, which is what we're doing right now. We've been doing it for the past couple of years, but probably even now more than any time, we're having to deal with bed shortages along with all the other healthcare systems and really try to use each other in I think ways that we probably didn't think about before. And that I would say would be one of my high points because at Pittsburgh, as you know, is a hyper competitive healthcare environment. Not that other cities don't have that, but in particular, Pittsburgh is pretty it's pretty tough. So systems were, I would say, 3 years or so ago, really kind of functioning more on their own. And I think through the pandemic, we started to really act like we should have probably all along, which is together. When you get into a jam, who's the first person you're going to call? You're going to pick up the phone, you're going to call another health system and say, we're having this issue. Can you help us? Or are you having it? Do you have any suggestions or advice? And we started to do that routinely with the other healthcare systems. And it ended up being, I think, it was a gift to all of us. But it took somebody to really jump out there and put themselves out there and say, look, let's do this together instead of forget about the competition for right now. This is not the time for it. And we've really seen, I mean, the lasting impact of that as we've come out of this and kind of now we're going into a different phase of it, but that's still happening. And it's been a real joy. So I don't know, it's recent, but it's really impactful within, Western Pennsylvania area, I think.
So, Peter here, just for those who aren't, and I guess we're going to get to this, but when you talk about Pittsburgh being a competitive market, you're talking about competition with University of Pennsylvania,
Right.
Pittsburgh Medical Center, right?
I am. Well, actually, it's with all the healthcare systems, but UPMC is obviously the largest healthcare system within this area. Yes.
Yeah. And sorry, Cindy, just going back to in terms of inflection point, is there a way you could sort of sketch the, sort of the two or three sort of strategic moves you made to get to right the ship, to get
Yes.
the network back on its feet again?
Right. Yeah, I can. One, from the very beginning, we had the support of the Highmark Health leadership team to do what we needed to do. And I think really the reason that they chose me for this position was because I was such an advocate for getting clinicians involved in all the decisions being made throughout the system. And when I first got here, I remember going out and speaking with a lot of the physicians who had been in the network or in the hospitals for a long time. And they had just really lost faith in the leadership of this system to make decisions that were going to benefit them. They didn't think they were going to be asked. They didn't think their opinions counted or mattered. And as you all know, Cleveland Clinic is a physician-led system. And my entire career, I spent there growing up in that system. So my expectation was every time we sat down to make a decision, you were going to have clinicians at the table who actually weighed in. Not to get their buy-in, but weighed in and said, good idea, bad idea. And then that's the direction that we were going to go. And I remember, Peter, the first few months that I got here, and we were trying to determine what the capital budget allocation was going to be for 2016. And I remember requesting a meeting with all the lead physicians, and we were sitting in the room. I said, okay, guys, this is the amount of money that we have. How do you want to spend? How do you want to allocate it? And I mean, they seriously looked at me like I had 4 ears. You're really going to let us decide? I said, yes, but we're going to do this over the next couple of hours. But when we do this and we walk out, we're all going to be in agreement that it benefits the entire system and that you're all in agreement that this is how we're going to do it. And then there's, no arguing afterwards. We can talk about it again, but they were surprised and we just kept doing that and doing that and doing that. So what we've done over the past several years is we have put clinicians into every single leadership position that we could, physicians, nurses, and other clinical specialties. They now lead all of our hospitals. We have 14 hospitals. Physicians are leading all those hospitals. And I think we've got 398 physicians or clinicians or nurses in leadership positions that did not exist 3 or 4 years ago. So that's how we did it. And you say, what does that have to do with financial turnaround? Well, you make really, really good decisions when you have a bunch of clinicians sitting at the table because they're ultimately going to make the right decision. And it's not going to be the most costly. It's normally not. I would normally spend more money without their input. But no, they'll sit, they'll argue their points and we come to a conclusion. The best thing about it is once we decide something, I don't have to go out and convince anybody. Because they just decide it. And they're going to go out and tell their colleagues, look, we got in a room, we decided to do this. This is the direction that we're going. So that's how we did it.
So it's a sort of question of getting physicians involved. And I guess sometimes people talk about physician champions. You sort of, you by getting them involved, you get sort of buy-in up front.
Well, one of the things that we did is we completely changed our model. So when I first got here, one of the first things that we did was we started to roll out what we call the Institute model, which we did at the Cleveland Clinic. We there's a lot of things we did, but we did do this, but we did a little bit of a different version of it. And within each institute, you've got like specialties, but both medical and surgical. But we had clinicians that were named to lead things like patient experience, quality, you know, clinician burnout, those kind of things. You are responsible for that initiative within your entire institute across the entire system. Remember, the AHN was formed by putting a lot of individual hospitals together that had never worked together. In fact, were competitors before. So, you know, once we had the institute model and you had a chair of orthopedics who was in charge of orthopedics for the entire system, completely changed the game. Right. But within the institutes, we have officers that are responsible for these initiatives, cost reduction initiatives, whatever, for their entire institute across the entire footprint. So whenever we decide to do something at the top and we've got the clinician leader sitting there, and if it's a patient experience, let's say we decided to do it, they go out and they tell their 15 patient experience clinician leaders, we just decided to do this, and it goes out throughout the entire 23,000 people. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
It's very logical, but it's easy to say, but in fact, it's kind of hard to do unless you get the right people.
Right. And did you have to bring in some outside people to accomplish this, get rid of some folks and repopulate the physician?
I would say we brought in new people more among the administrative ranks and less among the clinicians, because we had really, really great clinicians all along. They just needed a reset as to how they were thinking about it. And as people left administrative positions, we started replacing them with clinician positions. So it just happened kind of organically and naturally. So we've got clinicians that lead pretty much everything.
So if you can add to that, what are the benefits of being a part of a large blended payer or provider healthcare enterprise?
Well, you know, it's been wonderful because I've got access to data that I would have never, you know, had before. It's like, you know, you're always operating on, you know, half of the puzzle and now you've got all of it. But because, you know, we've got the data on our patients and Highmark has the information on the members, we can put the two together to make investments at scale. And it's really improved the capabilities of Allegheny Health Network. You know, we put in our, what we call our neighborhood hospitals, which are the small format hospitals that have 10 to 12 beds. We've put in four of those over the past couple of years. We've done major enhancements to, we built neighborhood cancer centers out in the communities. And we did this based on where the membership of Highmark needed it and where AHN needed it, so we could, you know, come together, put all of our information together and decide this is the best place for patients, because our, we have been striving over the past several years to do things differently at AHN. One of the big things is moving care way out of the communities. You know, we're successful if patients can get where they need to get within 5 minutes. And they don't have to do the bridges, the tunnels, and all that other stuff in Pittsburgh. So that's been just hugely successful. But it's the kind of thing that we couldn't have done on our own. We would have never had the money to be able to afford to do something like that. But with Highmark, because it benefited both of us, we were able to do some really great things like that. Another thing too, which is a big advantage, is that we're able to share all of our corporate services. So when you think about things like IT, legal, marketing, HR, all those things, we have one one combined unit that manages the entire enterprise. So I don't need to go out and duplicate that for Allegheny Health Network. And in fact, the level of service has been just absolutely incredible since we've done that. And it's good for our organization because when you've got people who are thinking about both the payer and the provider at the same time when they're making decisions, you get the right people. It makes, you know, it makes better sense instead of somebody who's just payer centric or provider centric. So that's really, I think, been beneficial for us in a big way. Our care coordinators out in the hospitals, which are typically hospitals, will have care coordinators to make sure the patients get out on time and they go to the right places. Highmark has care coordinators throughout their footprint. We combine the two together. Now the care coordinators all work together to make sure that all of our patients and members are going to the right places, but it's less costly to be able to do that. So there's tons of examples, but there's a lot of great reasons why it's really benefited AHN.
Wonderful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now I kind of wanted to shift over to value-based care. How has that shift affected Allegheny Health? And possibly, if you can share, what percentage of your revenues are tied to value-based contracts, mm-hmm. Of some sort of versus, or I'm sorry, how does it tie to it, you know, against fee-for-service?
So we have jumped into it in a big way. And because we are a payer provider, as you can imagine, anything that we can do that benefits our patients and reduces the cost of care is the right way to go, both for the healthcare system and for the payer too. And besides, everybody's going to be going that way, or they should be going that way. Anyway, we have about 78% of our revenue right now is tied into value-based arrangements, either through Highmark and other payers too. And a lot of that we do through our clinically integrated network, which has been incredibly successful. We started that about 4 years ago, and that was probably one of the best things that we could do because it spans our footprint and it's got really great leadership. And we're able to make it really successful because we're combining all of the information from the payer real time. And we're able to give this to the clinicians within the clinically integrated network so that they can make better decisions and really reduce and defer a lot of the cost that maybe they would have had before, they would have seen before. So it's been, so when we have our meetings once a month, it's 15 people from you know, Highmark Inc., the insurance company, that are there to help with the information for the providers. And it's been a huge benefit for us. So we're going that way. We're going risk-based and value-based care in a big way. More and more risk-based though too.
So how do you, Peter here, so how do you sort of institutionalize putting some brakes on cost reduction and keeping up the quality of care? Because it would seem with the 15 Highmark people there that there just might be an incentive to cut costs and lose sight of quality of care and patient experience. You know, it's just like, you know, the culture just could lead you in that direction.
So Peter, you're right, that could happen. But from the very beginning, we have said, and we've got the physicians have been so intimately involved in doing all of this, that if you were to honestly come here, my floor is right underneath Deb, the insurance company. I'm with her all day long. So are our clinicians. We have 60 clinicians dedicated to helping them build out products, reduce cost. We have tons of initiatives going on to be able to take costs out of the system. And then our clinicians actually lock these down within the system so that you actually can't even perform it wrong if you wanted to. So you can't go order it because the care path or the care models that we've designed, we've got about 15 right now that we're working on, they just won't allow you to move off the track. And it's not like Highmark would come in and say, we want you to do more or do less. Our clinicians actually look at what it is that they're proposing to do to make sure that it makes sense. And in fact, it's doable because we really kind of serve as what we call ourselves the learning lab for Highmark. So if we can do it here, that means it's probably going to be successfully rolled out to other provider systems, which is ultimately the goal. But I think that we're doing, we're a gift too to those other provider systems, because without somebody like us, you know, you would have a peer that potentially would be rolling out things that probably maybe not even possible. I remember a couple of years ago, they were rolling out an initiative that I remember looking at, and right off the bat, I thought, that's never going to work. It's never going to work. I mean, it has something to do with home-based care. And to their credit, I said, you know, we need to get some of the docs involved and let's sit down and go through this and see what they think about it. I didn't say anything. And the docs looked at it and they said, this wouldn't be doable. And these are the reasons why. And then they actually got on the phone with other provider systems to say, Highmark is thinking about doing this. Do you think we could do this? Do you think we could do this successfully? And after about 2 or 3 weeks, they came to the conclusion that that's probably not the right move. And they said, Highmark was very grateful for us doing that because they would have rolled out something that wouldn't have been probably palatable. So we work like that with them hand in hand every day on their products, what the new offerings out in the market. And then we actually accompany them on their sales calls to all the organizations to help sell their products. Hmm. So it's when I say blended, I mean, it's blended to the betterment of both of us, really.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.